Hello everyone, welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we begin a new book of the Bible, another Old Testament book, the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon follows Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then we have the Song of Solomon. So get your Bible, open it up if you can, so that you can follow along in your Bible as we study it and read it verse by verse. Remember, all of God's Word is archived for you for complete series. Actually, this is the fourth series going through the whole Bible, all 31,000 plus verses, archived for you at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, and that's found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out. Go there, click, and listen. That's all you have to do at thebibleversebyverse.com. Father, we ask your blessings on this book. Help us to understand it. Help us to come away from our studies appreciating you more than ever. And we ask that you would sanctify us today by your truth, your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. So as the very first sentence tells us, this book is a song. It's a song. The Holy Spirit, through Solomon, gave us a song. It is a book designed to stir up our affections when it is appropriate. And it is always appropriate when it is directed toward our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to love God. And of course, Jesus is God. We are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Look at verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Now, the love of Jesus Christ is better than wine. It is better than anything that this world has to offer. And every true Christian knows that. This isn't talking, obviously, about a physical relationship with Jesus. The physical illustrates the heartfelt love and devotion we should have for Jesus because he has that for us. So, again, the love of Jesus Christ is better than wine. Simply put, it is better than anything that this world has to offer. And if you are truly saved, you understand that. You get it. Every true Christian knows that, and every true Christian responds to it by loving Jesus Christ back the best that they can. We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. Now, if you don't love Jesus, you're not saved. It's that simple. You want a test of salvation? Do you love Jesus? I mean, does it come from your heart? If you don't, you're not saved. Verse 3, because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. So we Christians are to be like Jesus. We are to live like him, and through our actions as well as our words, proclaim his love and his holiness and everything else about him. And then, those who are drawn to truth will begin to love Jesus through us, because of us, because we're letting Jesus live through us. But if we don't live for Jesus, and we don't love Jesus, then no one's going to come to Jesus through us. Or if you try to put on display a false Jesus, one that's cool in the eyes of the world, listen to me, the world can go get that kind of stuff anywhere. But those who have a heart for truth are looking for something real. They're looking for the real God, the real Jesus, and it's up to us to give it to them. Verse 4. Draw me away. We will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. The upright love thee. Well, they certainly do. The upright love God. The upright love Jesus. They are glad and rejoice in the presence of Christ. Verse 5, I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. If you love someone because of how they look, then chances are you're just loving yourself. You love them, in a sense, because of what they give you. But if you truly love someone the way Jesus loves us, if you love someone, how they look is secondary. And Jesus loves us with a perfect love in spite of how we look spiritually. He loves us with a perfect love in spite of our sin, or in spite of what others might consider to be unattractive. So the sun had scorched the woman in view here because she was probably outside an awful lot, doing a lot of manual labor. But it didn't matter to the one who loved her. Love that doesn't go beneath the surface is not love. Love that stays on the surface is lust. And it certainly isn't love for that person. If anything, it is love for self. So much of what is defined as love for others is nothing but love for self. It's, well, I love you because of what I can get from you, whether it's looking at you or kissing you or whatever, you know, or the money that you give me or whatever. It's about self. That's not love. You look good to me. I think you're pretty, or I think you're handsome, or you make me feel good, therefore I love you. No. You love you. And you like being around that person because they make you feel good. It is love of self. See, that's not what Jesus' love is about. Jesus loves us because it is his nature to love, not because there's anything inherently lovable in us. Again, we may be unattractive to the world. We may be unintelligent to the world. We may be untalented to the world. We may be nothing to the world. But Jesus loves us because it's his nature to love. You may not have a friend in the world, but Jesus loves you because it's his nature to love. And we are to love him unconditionally, and we will if we are saved. God doesn't have to perform for us, answer our prayers the way we would like him to. If we're truly Christians, we're going to love him anyway, and we're going to serve him anyway. It's not about what we can get. It's about who God is. That's what stirs our heart. If anything, we understand just how much he loves us, and we do if we're saved, and we love him back. Verse 6. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Not very impressive by the world's standards. Talking about this woman. And she admits it. Not very impressive by the world's standards, but then again, in God's eyes, no one is impressive. The people who humble themselves are the ones that reach out to God and experience his love through Jesus Christ. Whether they're impressive to the world or not doesn't matter. It's totally irrelevant. 7. Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? In other words, why should I settle for anything less than the best? We live one time in this life, and we should make the most of it by sticking closer to Jesus than we are to anyone else, by serving the Lord Jesus Christ the best that we can. That's how we make the most of our life. You know, maybe you've seen that bumper sticker. I haven't seen it for a long time, but I think it read, whoever dies with the most stuff wins. I guess that's the way the world looks at it. Certainly isn't true. Accumulating stuff isn't making the most out of your life, because you know what? You do lie, or you do die, and you leave it all behind, and it's all worthless. Probably becomes worthless before you even die, because you can't enjoy it if you get old. No. We live one time in this life, and we should make the most of it by serving Jesus the best that we can, showing our love for him. And we should not settle for the world's entertainment or whatever the world has to offer us when we can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should not settle for the riches of the world and the experience that the world gives us and the gains that this world can offer us, when we can instead spend our time getting things for eternity and glorifying Jesus Christ in the process. Jesus is the best. Why not experience him to the utmost degree? Then you won't waste your life. Verse 8, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tents. The separate shepherd, says, if you don't know where I am today, just follow the trail of my flock to the shepherd tents, and there you can feed your sheep. Jesus has answers, and he gives them to us if we love him. See, she had a question, and the shepherd gave her the answer. Jesus has answers for us, and he gives them to us if we love him and stay close to him. He will guide us to what we need and make sure that we have it at all times. Now, it may not be how normal people obtain what they need, but then again, God is nothing like a so-called normal person, thankfully. Verse 9, I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. He tells the woman that she is lovely. Why? Because she is connected to him, and therefore he loves her. Our sin has ruined the image of God that we were originally designed to bear. But coming to Christ and belonging to him makes us lovely in the eyes of God. It's true. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. We are as beautiful and perfect and holy to Almighty God as his son. We are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Christ. Our lives are hidden in Jesus, the Bible says. No one else may think you're lovely physically or spiritually, but Jesus does. And when you think about it, he's the only one that matters. 10. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold. So he compliments her beauty once again. Jesus wants to tell us over and over again how much he loves us. He wants us to be assured of his love for us because the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. God does not want us to go through life as Christians fearful of what may happen in the future. He does not want us to live that way. There's no need to. And spending time in the Word of God every single day, praying to God and praising Him every single day, will give us the assurance of His love for us and in the process drive out the darkness of unwarranted fear and worry. Verse 11, we will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. The king says, I'm going to decorate you even more. The king wants her to look good. He wants her to look better all the time, just like Jesus wants Christians. He wants to make us better, to make us more holy, holier today than we were yesterday. The king's love for this woman did not depend on how well she was decorated, just like Jesus' love for us does not depend on our good works. But when you love someone, You want what is best for them. And in our case, Jesus wants us to be holy. He wants us to be decorated with holiness, as decorated as we can possibly be in that area, because that's what's best for us. And of course, it honors him. 12. While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. She says the king lies on his bed or sits by his table, because they did sit in sort of a lying down fashion. And he is pleased by the fragrance of her perfume. You know, the good works of God's people, the good works of Christians, are often referred to as a sweet savor to God. And our prayers are like pleasant incense to him. We grieve God whenever we do something wrong, and we grieve him whenever we fail to do something right. And so it's always nice to know that we are able to please him. And a couple of the things that are the most pleasing to our God and our Savior are doing good works for his glory, spending time with him in his word and in prayer. Those things really bless him. 13. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me, that lies all night between my breasts. So the picture is one of the deep love between Christ and the Christian. When a Christian is walking with Jesus, there isn't anything in this world that can pull them away from him. See, I say it again. When you really love Jesus as a Christian, there isn't anything in this world that will pull you away from him. It's only when one's love for Jesus begins to fade due to unconfessed sin. It only comes as a result of people tolerating sin in their life and not repenting and not confessing. That's when trouble begins to happen, see? That's when they become separated from him. And the sad thing is, it is so subtle that sometimes, oftentimes, they don't even realize it. They don't even feel it. They don't feel the separation, and they don't feel the loss of intimacy with their Savior and God. Their life isn't happy anymore. They don't have the joy of the Lord anymore. Problems arise that never used to be there. And maybe sometimes that shakes them up and acts as a slap across the face with a 2x4. But sometimes it doesn't, because they're just so given over to their sin and desensitized. But other than that, man, nothing will pull you away from Jesus if you love him, if you stay close to him. You won't trade him for anything. And that's why sin should always be confessed immediately, to avoid what will inevitably lead to a broken relationship if it is not confessed. 14. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. In other words, the king says that the woman is like a bouquet of flowers in a garden. How about that? As I make this recording, it is spring. And I look forward to spring every year. And two reasons stand out to me immediately. Number one, when the flowering crab trees begin to blossom, which is happening right now, by the way, the sweet smell is beyond description. And then, oh, I don't know, a week or so after they're gone, the lilacs begin to bloom. Sometimes I stand next to those lilac bushes or underneath the flowering crab trees for quite a while. And I just try to take in as much as I possibly can because I know it's not going to last. And the fragrance is amazing. And I thank God for it. And we can't fathom the love that Jesus has for us as Christians, but we can scratch the surface when he compares his love for us to a bouquet of flowers. He enjoys us so much, and he loves us so much, and he wants our fellowship so much. And we might ask why. And I don't know why, but it's true. And it's a two-way street when we are walking with him with no unconfessed sins in our life as Christians. It's two-way street because we want him that badly too. 15. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. He says to the woman, how beautiful you are, my love. How beautiful you are. And he loves her eyes, and he tells her. And just notice how he loves her for who she is. He loves her not because of what she does for him, but because of who she is. For him, it is enough that they are together. It's enough. Just being together. They don't have to do anything special. They just are together. And that's enough. Is it enough for you to just be with Jesus? I ask that because it is enough for him to just be with you. The king's desire to be good to the woman stemmed from his deep love for her and the simple joy that he received from being with her. A Christian doesn't need rules and regulations to serve Jesus. In fact, legalistic churches with all sorts of rules and regulations cheapen a Christian's relationship with God, turn it into a legalistic, stiff, formal thing. And that's not pleasing to God. I mean, would you be pleased if your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter just did what pleases you because there's a rule written that says that you have to do it? That's not love. That's legalistic, cold formalism. It wouldn't please you, and it doesn't please God either. But a Christian does not need rules and regulations to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If they are content to spend time with him, if he is there with them, then everything else will fall into place. Obedience will come as a natural result of that close relationship with him. And there's an application here for the relationship between a man and a woman as well. If just being with you isn't enough for that other person, if they always have to be doing something, if they always have to be going somewhere, If they always need something exciting and something new to enhance their life with you, I wouldn't give two bits for that relationship and I'd walk away in a hurry. True love, whether it's between a Christian and Jesus or between two people, is satisfied just being together. That's enough. 16. Behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our houses are cedar, and our rafters of fir. He says, I just love laying out in the shade on this green grass with you. It's so pleasant, and so are you. Simple things are enough when you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't need anything elaborate from you either. He couldn't care less. He just wants you. He just wants to enjoy being with you. Simple things, very simple things, become remarkable things when you are with Christ. A sunrise becomes a glorious thing to behold when you are close to God, because you immediately thank him for giving it to you, for entertaining you, for blessing you. One time I was walking in the middle of this field where no human being I think had ever walked before, and I was praying, and I saw this tiny little purple flower that maybe was an eighth of an inch in diameter. Wildflower, no doubt. And it stood out to me. It jumped right out to me. And I thought, God, you knew when you created me that someday I'd be walking in this field and I'd be praying to you and I would see that little purple flower. Nobody else will ever see that thing that you made. You're the only one who will see it, and me. And you made it for me. I'll never forget that simple little flower. And I thank God for it. And, you know, that was, 15 years ago. And I still remember it. It was such an amazing thing to me, because simple things become remarkable things when you are with Christ. Just like simple things become remarkable things when you are with the person that you love and that loves you. You don't have to do anything special. You can go for a walk next to a river. You can go for a walk down the sidewalk. It doesn't matter. You're with the person that you love. You can sit on a picnic table at the park and just watch the squirrels and whatever other little animals are running around there. And it'll bless you because you're with the person that you love. That's the important thing. It's sufficient. You don't need the extraordinary, because the simple become the extraordinary when you're with the person that you love. And that's how it is with a Christian who loves Jesus. They don't need anything special. They don't need a lot of money. They don't need a big fancy house. They don't need anything that the world says is important. They got Jesus, and he makes everything special. Everything becomes wonderful when you're in the presence of the Savior who you know loves you and you love. Well, we'll do chapter 2 next time. In the meantime, you can study the whole Bible with me, 4 series going through the Bible at thebibleversebyverse.com. There you can go choose the series and then the book of the Bible, the chapter, the section, click and listen. Remember, all you need to bring to the Bible is your, or to thebibleversebyverse.com is your Bible and a hunger for God's Word. And if you would like to be a part of this ministry, you can be by praying for me and praying for the Word of God. That will make you an immediate part of this ministry, an equal part of this ministry. And also, when you take a break from studying, go to the front page, Click the donate button and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. That'll make you a part of this ministry too. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.